Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey everybody, it's Kelly Kirsch. We're doing it. 60 minutes on ice as we get ready for the Flames and Winnipeg Jets. The best of five series will start on Saturday, and we're going to preview it here for the next couple of days and be all over it for your long weekend as we finally have hockey back. Busy show today. We'll hear from Eric Tkachuk as we'll really unpack the Winnipeg Jets, and we'll do that now. We better know the opponent, so let's do that with Peter Loubardias.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Peter, a couple more practices left for the Calgary Flames, and then they play for real. All the preparation and all the stuff that's gone to this point. A couple more practices and they've got to get going. What are you kind of wanting to take, glean from these two practices here?
Well, the couple of things really depend on which way Jeff Ward wants to go in terms of his lineup. And the exhibition game a couple of nights ago, we saw Sam Bennett go back up into a position at center ice with Dylan Dubé and Milan Lucic. And Kelly, I think that is really, really important. However, when this series plays itself out, I think the great thing for the Flames is they have a number of options depending on how they want to go. So when I break down the series, and I've talked about it a lot, I think it's critical, and even after watching the Jets last night, and we'll get to their game in just a second, of how it went against Vancouver, they have some very elite-level forwards that you need to contain. So in terms of defending the Jets, probably one of their most trusted players in terms of doing what he does well is Derek Ryan. So where does Derek Ryan play, and in what role, and to begin, on what line? When Sam Bennett was elevated the other night and played with Dubé and Lucic, I thought Sam was one of the best players in the game for Calgary, and we've talked, and there's been a lot of conversation on our show about playoff Sam Bennett. So, Kelly, in terms of utilization, how do you potentially get Sam the most minutes you can so he can be effective? But in those minutes, what do you need? So I hope I'm being somewhat clear in it really depends. And I think the good part is that Jeff Ward has some different ways to go. So if your lineup is structured early and you really need people who can defend and who you trust up against some of the Jets' best people, in some ways I'm probably going to lean to Derek Ryan. But I also need to get more minutes potentially for Sam Bennett. And here's another option, Kelly. I don't think that's out of the realm, because I think the one thing that we're settled in on is I think we know at least a start, right? Who two of the lines are going to be for the Flames.
Yeah.
I mean, right? So we'd be shocked. So the other interesting guy, and he's been really, really good, has been Dylan Dubé. And I think Dylan Dubé, in some respects, you know, not only is he a potential X factor, but as a young player, Kelly, wasn't the game the other night just another indication of how every little play in the playoffs makes a difference? So, you know, that's what I love about breaking this down, because I could even foresee a situation coming up, and we haven't seen them practice this way. Another combination I wouldn't be surprised that unfolds is to see Derek Ryan in the middle of Milan Lucic and Sam Bennett.
Really?
Yes, depending on Dylan Dubé and his role and his ability to not only generate on the forecheck, which I think is going to be crucial to the Flames. If there's one area where I think that they can really take advantage is establishing their forecheck against the Jets' defense that even showed me last night. And listen, every defense in the league, we saw it with the Flames. When the Oilers established their forecheck, especially in the first period, what happened? it created opportunities. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I'm really interested in. I'm not as interested because I think, you know, the whole hockey team, and in a best of five series, Kelly, if there's a short leash on your lineup and combinations in a seven game series, think about how that's elevated. So I'd be interested today, even though I'm not lucky enough to see it, what the lines are. And I truly feel, and I may be wrong, but the other interesting player that we didn't really get into yesterday for the Flames is Mark Jankowski. And his ticket, I think, to stay in the lineup is penalty killing. And now you have to decide, is that potentially going to be enough?
To put him on the fourth line, yeah.
Yes, is that going to be enough? And
yeah,
me, I'm probably leaning out,
yeah,
not in.
It is. It'd be such a great treat for Flames fans, coaches, and players if they can get some scoring and some production and some good minutes from that third line somehow, some way. If your third line can outperform their third line and create some havoc and score a goal or two, that makes all the great Bob Miller, the former broadcaster for the LA Kings, he would always talk about that, especially when the Kings went on to their Stanley Cups. He would say you just have to have the first two lines. I mean, most teams in the playoffs have pretty good first two lines, but your third line, if you can get something magical, and we've seen it for years, like it's just, and maybe, you know, for hardcore fans, it doesn't come out of nowhere, but it's that extra bonus, Lou, that would be magical if the Flames could find that.
Well, Kelly, because throughout the course of a game, every shift truly leads to the other. And the other thing about the game that's very basic in nature is the more matchups you can win through the course of a game, because trust me when I tell you this, all the time I've spent with coaches and, you know, because I'm so fascinated in that part of it, coaches really script out, even in hockey, everything. But where the script goes depends on the plan and whether your players can execute the plan. So the more advantage I have because my players are playing better than the players across from me, well, then it sets up your next group. And then I get to dictate to you rather than you get to dictate to me. And, you know, we can get more into it tomorrow in terms of the matchups and where I think it's really, really important. In a lot of cases, especially in the playoffs, that's why depth guys are so important and they play a key role, because it's what you said. And if you've watched the game and if, you know, you have the ability, and I always like to try to, you know, have people think just a little bit more than what's on the surface or what just flat-out numbers say to you. But it's about winning matchups and gaining an advantage. And that's what it's all about. So for the Flames, that's the part of the lineup that's really interesting to me in some ways, because what do you need that, if you want to label them as the third group, who are they and what are they? And where do you gain an advantage? Because if you just compare straight up against the Jets, well, that third grouping is going to be Lowry, Kopp, and a youngster by the name of Jack Roslovic, who, if last night was any indication, really looks like he's starting to come into his own. And I know for a fact that Paul Maurice, because that line led by the Calgary product, Adam Lowry, feels like they can be a really good two-way line. And I don't think there's going to be any matchup where he doesn't feel pretty comfortable with the Lowry line against any line, unless the Flames can change that. And that's what's so important. And it can be the same depending on whether they go with Sam Bennett in the middle or the other combinations. Kelly, where can you get an advantage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Understanding that, listen, for the Calgary Flames last year against Colorado, their top two groups did not hold up their end of the bargain against the Avs couple of groups. They lost those matchups. They didn't stay even, and all the numbers show it. So, against the Jets, it's really, really interesting how it's going to play itself out.
It is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Last night, you heard it here on Sportsnet 960. Vancouver and the Jets. The Jets win 4-1 in their exhibition game. And the homework we got, we had to kind of dig in and see what we could see with the Winnipeg Jets. And, well, Connor Hellebuck was good, really strong, no rust there. And heard it with Corey Hirsch on the broadcast, on the radio side. And he was saying, like, this is good for the Canucks because the Jets are very structured, especially defensively. They are set. They're ready to play in the playoffs. Let's hear from the head coach, Paul Maurice, first, and then we can comment on what Lou saw with the Jets and Canucks last night.
I thought it was a really good tune-up because Vancouver played hard. I mean, they came hard. An awful lot of chip pucks to forecheck, an awful lot of speed. I'm a Travis Green fan in terms of what he's done with that team. So I was happy to get this matchup because I knew that they would, I found them to be very, very aggressive all over the ice, and that's what we needed. I thought we got a little better as the game went on and kind of peaked there toward the end of the second period. So we got a lot of what we wanted to get accomplished kind of in the game. And a good understanding of what it's going to be like. So, I was pleased with the result. Our goalie made big saves, right? He got good work. Like, that was a good tune-up for Connor. He was really, really strong. Our defense were under a tremendous amount of pressure from their forecheck. So they got lots of reps in that. And our forwards, you know, when you come out of exhibition into the regular season, you're always there. It's all about scoring goals. But, you know, when you look at Kulikov's goal, it's just a great back check by Adam Lowry to knock it down. So there's some really good defensive things in our game, too.
Paul Maurice, and he's awesome because not normally would we play a minute and 15 clip all on one thing, but he kind of summed everything up there, Lou. It was a great summation of the game.
It was a great summation of the game. And in evaluating the game, the Winnipeg Jets won 4-1. I was more impressed with the Vancouver Canucks than I was with the Winnipeg Jets. I thought the game reminded me a lot in many different ways of the Flames and the Oilers. Because for great chunks of that game, Kelly, I thought the Jets were under duress. A lot the way when it settled in, it was somewhat opposite. But the difference in the game was Connor Hellebuck. Hellebuck made 37 saves, and the one thing about the Jets, and it was somewhat the case with the Oilers, the Jets don't need a lot of great opportunities sometimes to score. So as far as the process is concerned, I guarantee you if I played a clip from Travis Green, Travis Green would have liked a lot of things about his game. He didn't like the score. Jeff Ward liked a lot of what he saw from the Flames against the Oilers outside of a bit of a sloppy start. Well, the Jets got away, Kelly, with a sloppy start because of the work of Hellebuck. And that's what I love about the playoffs, because in the playoffs, you can give me every shot rate, you can give me every breakdown, you can give me every number you want. But in the playoffs, you know what matters? Every shift. And you never know what shift, what save, what power play, what penalty kill is going to turn games. And your ability in games, as we talked about off the top, to stay with your game longer than your opponent, that's what wins most nights. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah. I always love it when you get those behind the scenes videos of you know, when 24/7 was so great on HBO, and, you know, they would guys would just yell, who's going to get it? Who's going to do it this time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you never know where it was going to come. The real good teams, it's like it'll be some guy on the fourth line or third line or a defenseman. All of a sudden, bang, right? It's time for them to shine. And that's what the playoffs are all about. We're chatting about the Winnipeg Jets as the Flames get ready to take on the Jets in the best of five qualifying round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That will start on Saturday. We'll remind you, we have a ton of coverage on Saturday leading up to the game. And, of course, the game itself, and we'll be all over it on Monday and again on Tuesday, and we'll see where we're at when everyone's done with their long weekend. But we wanted to have a bit of a deep dive on the forwards. And you, Kyle Connor, the Jets have been so great at acquiring picks and developing players, and they've done it, you know, I don't know if it's quietly or not. I think most people know they're good at it. But there's a guy they just brought along, and he has turned out to be lights out for them.
Kyle Connor, 17th overall pick in 2015, first rounder, 23 years of age. And Kyle Connor maybe does not receive the same notoriety as Mark Scheifele or Blake Wheeler, and for good reason. Those are elite-level players. I think Scheifele is arguably one of the top 10 best centers in all of hockey, and that's, you know, something that the Flames absolutely are going to have to deal with, and they had to deal with that, needless to say, last year in a player that I think is as good a center as any in the National Hockey League, and that's Nathan MacKinnon. But Connor this year, 73 points. He had 38 goals. That was tied for sixth in the entire league. And he is, like you said, he's just quietly gone about his business. He got paid for his business. But guess where else he's been pretty good early in his career? In the playoffs. He has 15 points in his first 23 games. Last year, more than held his own in a very, very close six-game series against the St. Louis Blues that obviously the Jets did not win. But he had three goals in that series. If you remember, the Jets lost the first two games at home in that series, and then went back to St. Louis and won both of those games, including Kyle Connor with a huge overtime winner to even the series in game number four. And the Jets, just for a little memory revisit, the Jets had a 2-0 lead, Kelly, in game five at home of that series, and the St. Louis Blues came back and won it 3-2, and eventually ended up winning. All four of the Blues' wins came by virtue of one goal. But Kyle Connor, I wouldn't yet refer to him as Winnipeg's version of Jake Guentzel, but I see some real similarities. And Guentzel has really made a name for himself in the postseason. And it looks like Winnipeg, this is going to be another chapter for Kyle Connor in terms of his ability to deliver on the big stage. And so far, you're right, it's been not full of fanfare, but the results look good. And all he keeps doing is getting better and better. Now, granted, playing on a line with those other two gentlemen have not hurt his cause either. But if you haven't watched a lot of Kyle Connor, and you're a Flames fan, you're going to get more than your fair share of learning about the Jets, number 81.
Yeah, it won't be easy. It starts on Saturday. Tomorrow, I think we'll dig into the Jets' defense, because that might be something that Flames could take advantage of, and a few other things as well, as we'll really get into this best of five tomorrow. Lou, have a great rest of your day, and we will talk on Hockey Central tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kelly.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Eric DeHatchak coming up, our NHL insider. More on what the Winnipeg Jets are all about. A bit of a deep dive with him, as he has covered them quite a bit in the last couple of years. Yes, playoff hockey is coming back. Yeah, it starts Saturday, which means you have a few days, not many, 10 a.m., Saturday is the cutoff for the Sportsnet 960 playoff pool. It's back with our great partners at Iconic Electric and Controls, promoting a culture of quality since 2008 and proudly owned and operated from Western Canada. You can always check them out online at iconicec.ca. Here's the deal. You go to sportsnet.ca/960, go to contests, have a look, get that form, have a check at all the different categories. Some are fun, some just pay tribute to the great Flames history. And you just basically, you know, pick a box from each section, and who knows, you could be a winner. We're going to make a draw for a gift card from Backyard Meats after the first round. We'll do it after the second round and the third round. And then, look out, we're going to have something awesome. Paradise Bay, they're going to give us a smoker, and Backyard Meats is going to load it up with a $300 gift card. So that will be perfect for your... Well, it'll be probably October, so hopefully it'll be still nice enough to do a little smoking, just like
put
that.
Put a turkey on it.
Exactly. You could do that. Absolutely, you could. Thank you, Patrick. All right. We'll take a quick break. Eric Tkachuk is next. He's the NHL insider. It is Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
He's our NHL insider. He's Eric Tkachuk. And as we promised on Tuesday, we were going to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. And folks heard it on the radio last night, saw it on Sportsnet. We got to see the Jets. And just like the script said, the Jets were very disciplined. They had their system going, and their goalie was lights out.
Yeah. You're right. We got nothing left to talk about, yeah. Kelly. It summed it all up there. Well, here's what I would tell you, though. I thought Vancouver was the better team in the first period by a lot, and I thought they were bailed out. Winnipeg was bailed out by their goaltender. And while I liked some of the things about their game, because I'm one of those people that has sort of Winnipeg down as a dark horse. But way before we got the idea that they were matching up against the Flames, when they were talking about all these different scenarios, and we were just talking about teams rather than matchups. I mean, I like the way Winnipeg was playing down the stretch. They won the four in a row. I remember seeing that last game against Edmonton on the road. They looked really good there. Now, I know that there's no carryover between how you're playing in March and how you're playing now, but I think that they were all trending in the right direction. And, you know, I jumped on the Zoom call with Paul Maurice the other day just to, you know, run some, just to get a sense of where they think they are. And one of the things that Paul said that really struck me was that, you know, he just felt at that moment when they arrived, at kind of the 70 game mark, they felt that they'd finally put all of the adversity behind them. And so when you think about, you know, Calgary and the year that they've had tons of adversity, coaching change, what happened with TJ Brody, you know, Winnipeg's was different, but they lost key players to injuries for long stretches of time. They lost the entire right side of a very good defense. And you know, like, they used the year to sort of process all that, and it looked like they were getting it together. And then this happened. So, you know, can you very quickly pick up from that point that you were? Because I think that they were very excited about the last 12 games, thought they were going to make the playoffs, and thought they could be one of those, you know, dark horse teams that are kind of hovering in the 5-8 spot that could make some noise in the playoffs. Because, you know, they went pretty deep a couple of years ago against Vegas. So anyway, yeah. So I was really curious to see, you know, where they were at. And then, you know, and then I thought they were just okay early, and then got a little bit better as they picked it up. So, I mean, you know, they're a great matchup for the Flames because there's a lot of similarities, and then there's a few areas where there's significant differences. So I think it will be a really compelling matchup.
What do we know about Connor Hellebuyck that maybe isn't on the surface? He had an incredible season, not a great playoff last year, and a guy that wants to redeem himself. But he was without him, I don't know where the Jets would be. What do we need to know about Hellebuyck, and maybe a weakness or somewhere that can give Flames fans a bit of hope that we can say, if we do this, we might get to him?
Good question. You know, like, I think that, you know, like, if you probe into him, you know, he's one of these, you know, the power of positive thinking type of guys. Like, that's one of his of the key parts of his makeup. You know, the mental game, which I think is really critical if you're trying to be a goaltender at the highest level. And I think that that's how someone gets to be an NHL goaltender, because, you know, there's just so many, you know, players around the world right now coming through the ranks, learning the art of goaltending from a very young age. Okay, so that's completely different than things were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, when there just wasn't the kind of coaching that you get nowadays. So you have all of these technically skilled players in all of these countries, you know, different models, but everybody's getting coaching from a young age. So how do you get to that point where you're an NHL starter? 31 starting jobs. You know, it's in the head. It's the same thing that makes, you know, Roger Federer a champion in tennis. I mean, he's got impeccable ground strokes. You know, every part of his game is sound, but there's hundreds and hundreds of tennis players that are technically sound. So what's the difference between somebody that's grinding it out in challengers and somebody that's winning grand? It's between the ears. And I think that when you look at the arc of Hellebuck's career, the years where he hasn't been as good is when I think that his confidence has flagged. And I think that, yeah, you know, he doesn't ever acknowledge that publicly. Even, you know, that one of the, sometimes you get these awkward scrums after a game where, you know, people are asking him about a bad goal, and then his answer is, yeah, I didn't think I played that bad, you know, and it seems, ooh, you know, that wasn't how we saw it, but what are you going to do or say? So I think that, you know, that is the key, the absolute key to the way he plays the game. You know, if he is confident, if he can maintain his confidence, he's elite. And that, you know, again, if you hate to take things out of an exhibition game, although I thought, you know, again, as exhibition games go, that was pretty good last night. He was really good, you know. And so if you're, you know, if you're looking at this from a Flames perspective, you were hoping to see a little bit of rust there. You were hoping to see a little bit of uncertainty, and you didn't see that from Connor Hellebuyck. So he's going to be a tough nut to crack if he can play in this play-in series with Calgary at the same level that he demonstrated in the exhibition against Vancouver last night.
Pressure's a funny thing, isn't it, Eric? And some guys will relish it, and it's one of those things where it's like, well, if I lose, it's going to be terrible, but if I win, it's going to be awesome. And that's always, there's a whole industry of people that write books and do seminars about doing just that and seizing the opportunity. So this is where I think goaltenders become, you know, from good to great, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's, it's an opportunity for both, you know, whoever happens to play goal for the Flames and for Connor Hellebuyck to do something. But there's also the other part of it. If, you know, it doesn't go the Jets' way, then that's three series in a row that he's lost. And that's, you know, you can be as positive thinker if you want. That's not good.
Yeah, and the key to that, obviously, as any life coach or psychologist will tell you, is you just have to block out the noise and concentrate on the things that you can control. And I often go back to, you know, the heyday of the Battle of Alberta, when it was Grant Fuhr against Mike Vernon. You know, two very different styles of goaltenders, two very different personalities. But the one thing that they had in common was the ability to put a bad goal behind them. They didn't let it get them down. I always thought, you know, as great as Mick Kiprusoff was, there were periods of time where, you know, like if he was, you know, having a bad night, it could go from bad to worse really quickly. And I think that, you know, coaches who had Kiprusoff, when you felt that it was going to be one of those going from bad to worse pretty quickly, you got him out of there. And, you know, I mean, I've spoken with Grant Fuhr about this. Lots of reporters have over the years. And the thing that he constantly stressed was, you can't worry about the last one, so just worry about the next one. Now, that is an easy thing to say, but it's a hard thing sometimes to follow up. But Grant Fuhr genuinely was able to do that. You know, the puck went in, didn't like it, but forgotten in 5 seconds. Pucks at center ice, you know, he's competing like mad to stop the next one. And when you can get to that point as a professional goaltender, that's when you've made it. And so, you know, Fuhr did that throughout his career, and he was especially good when those games on the line of making that save when he had to. And I thought Vernon was like that too. I thought Mike was really good at blocking out the outside noise. You know, hometown fans sometimes booing him. He was really good. And it's so challenging to do that, of blocking that out and just playing. And so That's the key to goaltending. I mean, yeah. You know, in some ways, it's the key to life too.
Well, no, it's true. And for goalies, Eric, it's the thing is like, yeah, have a great regular season. But when we talk about Mike Vernon, when we talk about Grant Fuhr or Mika Kiprusoff, we don't, you know, we can talk about the regular season, but what we always kind of hone in on is how they did when it really mattered. And come Saturday, it really matters for those guys. I want to ask a little bit about Paul Maurice. I've just always just thought he was a really interesting guy. Started the NHL business when he was really young, has had some ups and downs like a lot of coaches do. I had his time in the media. He's articulate. He's interesting. And he has a system. And he's listening to the broadcast last night, Corey Hirsch was the color man for the Canucks radio. And he said the Jets are exactly playing the way they need to. They've got their structure, the defensive structure. It's one thing to have like a, you know, this is how I want you to play. But to execute it and do it so quickly, that says something about Paul Maurice. You've interviewed him a bunch of times. What makes him tick?
Well, boy, that's a really good question because you know, you're right. I have talked to him, and we talk a lot about the philosophy of coaching. And you know, first of all, you know, like just in terms of broad philosophical questions, I actually did. You know, one of the things that Craig Customs and I, a colleague of mine at The Athletic, did this year. Was we did a coaching roundtable where we talked to, you know, half a dozen of the more articulate coaches in the NHL just about the future of coaching. This was in the context of Bill Peters you know, resigning from the Flames and the Flames making the coaching change. And what do you have to do? And we kind of got into those big picture things about, you know, coaching today as opposed to 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago and just how motivation has changed. And Paul was really good talking about that, about how you know he said when he started out as a coach, he did not understand how important relationships were, and he said, you know, as a young coach coming in, he wanted to be the smartest, you know, best prepared technical coach, and he spent all of his time working on, you know, the technical aspects of the game and not nearly enough on establishing relationships with players, and he said that ultimately hurt him in the early stages of his career. And as he became more established in the game, and he said a critical year for him came, and I don't know if you remember this, Kelly, but he went over to coach in Russia for 1 year. So he coached the team in Magnitogorsk that Mike Keenan coached, that Dave King coached. And he said that he was trying, you know, because he was coaching in a second language, he found that communication was extremely difficult, right? He would, you know, he would have to have an interpreter, and he said he would try to, you know, encourage players one-on-one, but he didn't have the vocabulary to do that. And he said it was a light bulb moment for him because he realized that when he was coaching in North America, when he did have the vocabulary to do that, he hadn't done that enough. And so he said he came back from Russia a changed coach and started to work more on one-on-one relationships with the players. And so I think if you look at the way he conducts himself in press conferences, but even the way he is on the ice with his players, he's firm, but he's fair. And just about every one of those players in that Winnipeg dressing room, they love playing for him. You know, we always hear the expression players coach. Well, what does that mean? I mean, it can mean lots of different things to lots of different players. But I think that what has happened over the arc of his career is that he's just gotten a lot better at, you know, reinforcing that motivational side. He was always really good at the technical side. So he's a formidable coaching opponent for sure for Jeff Ward.
We're talking about the Jets and the Flames here on Hockey Central at noon. It's Kelly Kirsch and Eric Tkachuk. When you talk about the Winnipeg Jets, the big buzz, I guess, was the guys they lost on the back end. But it is a team game. They figured it out. Tell us, is that a bit of a weakness or maybe something the Flames can exploit? Their perceived maybe lack of depth on their defense. If you can get a multi-line attack against them, how do you see the Jets' defense lining up against the Flames?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you know, like this is going to be like a very conventional statement that anybody could say, but yes, I do believe that Calgary's 1-6 defense is better than Winnipeg's 1-6 defense, and that comes from what you just said. You know, they had Dustin Byfuglien, who was this crazy wild card who sometimes, you know, he gave us something, sometimes he took it away, but he was a big minute player for them. and he was this physically robust guy, and he set the tone of a game in the same way that sometimes a guy like Brent Burns sets the tone of the game. There's very few of those guys around, so you take him out of the mix, and it changes the whole chemistry of your team. Identity is the word that I'm searching for here. It changes the identity of your team to take someone with Dustin Byfuglien's big personality out of that dressing room. And then on top of that, I always thought that, I know that not everybody loved Tyler Myers as a player. I did, you know, like, I don't think you can teach 6'8" or whatever he is. And I thought he was a really good defender. And Jacob Trouba, same thing, you know, like he's a number one defenseman in the National Hockey League. So you take three guys of that skill set that complement each other so well. I mean, there was no one had a better right side in the NHL than Winnipeg when those three guys were there. So you remove all of them from the mix. And while Neil Pion came in and played pretty well for them, you know, the drop-off is significant. And I think Dylan DeMello at the trade deadline acquired from Ottawa helped as well. But no, it's not the same. It's not the same. And that right side, which was so formidable before, is just not as formidable right now. So I think that you know, creates space. I think that it creates opportunities for the Flames, and that will be, I'm sure that will be one of the areas, whether they say it or not, that they will try to exploit. You know, if they had been playing Winnipeg in the playoffs a year ago, it would have been a far more challenging game, especially on that side of the rink, than it is right now.
How did the Blues beat them last year in that series?
Well, that's a good question, because I thought it was a pretty close series, you know, like that. And I didn't watch every minute of every game, but that was like a coin flip series. I think they, I don't have it in front of me, I thought they each had like 99 points. So it was a series between two very close teams. And the one thing that, you know, St. Louis demonstrated in that round, which they demonstrated in four rounds, was that in last year's playoffs anyway, the hard, heavy teams played really well. Now, remember, St. Louis was on an unbelievable roll from January the 1st on. And Winnipeg gave them a battle. They were St. Louis was last in the league, and then they had this surge into the playoffs, and they just carried that momentum forward. And a lot of it had to do with the coaching change and sort of the philosophy that Craig Berube, the former Flame, introduced. But, you know, when everybody reflected back on St. Louis and Boston in the final last year, the one thing that kept coming up again and again was, you can talk all you want about, you know, the speed of the NHL game right now, about how skill has never been higher. But in the end, who's left standing? The two most robust teams. So I think that was one of the areas that St. Louis did have an edge over Winnipeg, even with those players that Winnipeg had in the lineup last year. You know, they wore them down physically. And that, to me, you know, is like, does Calgary have the personnel to do that? And, you know, I think most people would say, maybe not. But I think the physical players on Calgary will be important in any success that they might have, because that was critical in the way St. Louis played against them last year.
It's Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirsch. He's Eric DeHatchuk talking about Flames and Winnipeg Jets. The qualifying round gets underway on Saturday, 8:30 Calgary time, game number one from Edmonton and the Hub. So there's no fans in the stands. There'll be fans everywhere else. There's been amazing numbers already. People are starved for hockey. Doesn't matter if it's July or August. We want to see it. We want to feel it. What is it, an advantage or a disadvantage, or who would it be an advantage or disadvantage to when you think of, normally, if this was game one between the Jets and the Flames, this city would be on fire. They'd play a game or two here and then go to Winnipeg. That city would be crazy. The players kind of, you know, feed into that, obviously, because they live in the city. Now that's sort of taken away, and the buzz is sort of afar, and they're in this bubble, and they can maybe see it on social media and get that sort of thing, but they won't be able to experience it like you would normally. Does that help a young player, do you think, kind of just play and focus, or does it hurt them where they don't get to feel that excitement and that extra energy?
Well, I mean, it's a really good question. It's funny, I had this conversation. So last week I was talking to Ron Francis, new general manager in Seattle, and we were talking a little, you know, a fair bit about Seattle. But then I wanted his take, because he played 23 years in the National Hockey League and, you know, has been a manager for a long period of time. You know, that was the question, one of the several questions I asked him. You know, what is it going to be like as a player from ice level when you don't have the fans there? Because you're right, you know, in the playoffs especially, the atmosphere is so great, and players use the the energy that they get from the fans to help them elevate their games. And he said, you know, and that, and Francis acknowledged, you know, yeah, that's all true. He said, but the one thing about it too, is, and he said it was particularly relevant to younger players, is that, you know, sometimes that also creates pressure, you know, and pressure sometimes creates like a paralysis. And so you're not playing as effortlessly yeah. and as fluidly as you would, you know, under normal circumstances. And he said, so it, that could be a blessing in disguise, that, you know, when you're out there trying to defend a lead, you know, you're not hearing the crowd, you're just concentrating on the task at hand. So he thought it was an either or situation, that there would be some times in a game where you really needed a lift and the hometown crowd provides that, and you're not going to get that this time around. But he also thought that there would be times, you know, when teams are really feeling the pressure and maybe the momentum is turning against you. And he felt that, you know, the absence of a crowd might help you overcome those things. So I don't know that there necessarily is a good answer. And I think every player would tell you that, you know, ultimately, if you ask that question to a player, they eventually all get around to it's the same for both teams. So in my mind, it does help to have coaches that are inspirational, and also teammates that are loud. I think this, if it's a negative factor for any team, it's the teams that have quiet dressing rooms and introspective guys. You just need those big personalities. I think that's why Milan Lucic is going to be important. You need the Matthew Tkachuks. You need the Lucic's, you know, the Zach Rinaldos. These guys with the big personalities.
Kick a garbage can over, right? One of those guys.
Well, I mean, just you know, people that are loud on the bench that, you know, that they keep you in the game, because if it's 18 guys with their head down, you know, when they're on the bench staring at their skates between, you know, I'm not sure that you have the energy that you need. So a handful of those guys that where it comes naturally, because if it doesn't come naturally, it's going to seem forced. But yeah. but if it's their personality to just do that because they do it all the time, I think those guys will be critical, not just for Calgary, but for every team. And it's important to have a handful of them. And I think Calgary right now does.
Eric, the long weekend approaches. We haven't had an August long weekend like this in a long time, with so much on the line, so much hockey. Western Canada is going to be jumping. And when we talk on Tuesday, this is going to be interesting to see where we're at, right? I mean, it could be anything. It's going to be a very interesting weekend. We will we'll catch up with you for sure on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us on Hockey Central.
All right. My pleasure, Kelly. Thank you.
There we go. Eric Tkachuk, one of our NHL insiders, down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, now open with limited dine-in service, all safety precautions in place. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Check them out at 6060 Memorial Drive in the Northeast. It's takeout Thursday. It's kind of warm. How about a nice big pizza and maybe some wings? Sounds like a plan from Atlas tonight. All right, take a break. We'll get Dumas to actually do some work around here. We'll get him in the conversation next. Peter Klein coming at 1 o'clock and a whole bunch more. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, it's Kelly Kirsch and Patrick Dumas. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm delightful today. It feels a lot cooler today than it was yesterday.
The house a little cooler? It was like 28 degrees at your place.
Yeah, it was
yesterday.
28 yesterday. We had the fans going. I think it was like, when I left, it was like 24. It never got cold enough, but we're
yeah, you don't need air conditioning a lot in Calgary, but when you do, you really need it.
Mm-hmm. It's like 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah, and it's super important, I'll tell you. All right. Hey, we a little bit of a programming change. So the Jays won't be playing Philadelphia at all.
Nope.
So that's been a bit of a hole in the paper. So that was going to be on Sunday. Well, it's supposed to be,
I think it was a 1:05 or 11. It might have been 11 o'clock our time.
No, it's not happening.
Nah, it's not happening.
That is not happening at all. It's not happening tomorrow either. It was going to do that. So that's not happening. Yeah, so
Saturday's gone. So no Phillies,
yeah,
no Jays this weekend.
So that's how that's going. I guess they're looking, see if they can. Can we stay in Washington?
Mm-hmm.
So we can work out.
Yeah, and if they just say, if Washington says no, they're going to go try and stay in Buffalo for a little bit.
Okay. They are gypsies.
Those poor
guys.
I
love them. I love those guys. Yeah, this is going to be neat how they're going to try and figure out how to just get the schedule in with all these teams and all the, you know.
Yeah, there's not too many off days you can sprinkle them in. I know they were supposed to play, I think they're supposed to play six games against the Phillies this year, so we might have to do double headers.
Yeah, and what are they going to do with the Marlins? Oh, boy. That is happening. So we do have lots of hockey. So just a little update for people. So Saturday's the big day. And so we'll have some special shows kind of leading into hockey. And then 1 o'clock on Saturday, we'll have Jets and Blackhawks.
Oilers, Blackhawks.
What did I say?
You said Jets and
Blackhawks. Oh, jeez. Oilers, Blackhawks from Edmonton. And that's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the big game. Everyone's gonna be totally jacked to see what we see from the Flames and Jets.
Oh, my.
So coverage all day and play-by-play at 8:30. And then Sunday, we have two games. So we'll do Toronto-Columbus at 6. And then after that's done, we'll go right to Vancouver-Minnesota.
Yep, that sounds good.
Okay, so that's happening. And then Monday, we've got, it's not really a holiday for us.
No, it's a full slate, everything.
Yeah, we'll have morning show right at 6.
6 till 2 a.m.
Yeah,
we're
and then... Hockey Central's a weird time as we'll just keep getting ready for that 12:30 p.m. face-off. So if you're out and about this long weekend, I suggest you keep 960 close. You can listen to us on the app, either the Sportsnet app, or if you want the Radio Player Canada app, that will work. Your smart speaker, if you got that with you, if you stream it off our website. If you got XM Sirius, you can use that too because there'll be... spinning that for us as well, so we will be everywhere with your long weekend. And then Tuesday back to normal, and a bit of surprise coming up Tuesday morning. All right, a little surprise for you guys on Tuesday morning. And then, is that the 4:45 game on Tuesday?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's an interesting time. So 4:45, so we'll be all over it big time. And then we'll play it by ear after that, right? So we'll just see what happens with that. Other than the Flames Jets series, which series are you going to be a voyeur on and really wanting to have a look at?
Ooh, I would say probably we're not talking a lot of the Eastern series, but I'm so intrigued with the other 8-9 Leafs and Blue Jackets. Jackets are healthy. Toronto's very dangerous when they're rolling. I think that series is going to be, it might go just as much as Calgary-Winnipeg is might go the distance. I think Toronto and Columbus could go the distance.
And people
are
talking about Rangers-Carolina too.
They're all intriguing. Like they're
all different plot lines.
And they're all, and I know nobody's going to really talk about the Panthers and Islanders, but I know they played a really good series three, 4 years ago. They played a really good series together. So I don't know. Everybody's desperate. All 8 of these series are going to be fun, I think. And, I'm hoping we get no sweeps. That's all.
Yeah.
And there probably might be one just because, you know, you lose that one game and you're scared.
Yeah.
You lose game one and you're scared. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you can point to the 5-12 matchups or whatnot. So we'll see.
Yeah. This is going to be neat stuff. And just, we went from 0 to 1,000,000 miles an hour mm-hmm. and suddenly we have a few less Jays games to worry about. So, on the weekend, so we can really concentrate on hockey on Saturday and Sunday, obviously. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And, the Raptors are back in action as well on Saturday evening.
So how many regular season games do the Raptors play?
I believe
play?
They have to play 8 games for seeding and
for
whatnot.
Seeding, yeah. And then the playoffs start on the 17th.
Yeah, they play the final game of this shortened end of the season. They play the Nuggets on the 14th, and then they've got the second toughest schedule of the returnees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so only the Miami Heat, I believe, have a tougher schedule. We'll play them all. We'll play everybody we have to see to get to an NBA final and defend that crown again.
Well, Patrick, you brought up the Raptors. This is a professional radio broadcasting segue.
Yes.
Coming up after 1 o'clock, Peter Klein starts things off, and I think he's going to talk Raptors.
I think he's going to be really excited to talk.
We're going to twist his arm, and he said, okay, I'll talk about the Raptors. He's got a special guest coming up, so if you're into the NBA and you always text in, you guys don't talk about the NBA enough. You guys don't. Oh. All right,
we don't need basketball out here.
Yeah, so that's coming for you. And if you're one of those, don't talk about basketball. If you're one of those people, just open your mind up a little bit. Come on.
We've been the NBA. The NBA title has been in Canada for over a year now.
Sometimes we're the voice of the Raptors on this radio station.
Maybe we will be soon. Before you know,
I just need permission. That's all I'm asking. So Just have to ask nicer, I guess. Okay. So Klein's ready to go. Steinberg is at 2 o'clock as we get ready for Flames and Jets and a whole bunch more. It has been Hockey Central. Binnard Steinberg next on Sportsnet 960.